So the name of today's talk is Why the Wise Think of Duration Instead of About Momentariness. And this will be again part of my Patana series, wherein the word duration is my personal translation for the Pali word avigatapaccaya. So I translate the Pali word avigata as duration or durability. And as with all the previous talks, I again will relate this condition of duration or durability to the four paramitta of Buddhist philosophy, which are matter, mind, consciousness, and nibbana. So let us begin with matter. So in the material universe, there are things like rocks, metals, diamonds, gold, mountains, oceans, suns, sun systems, galaxies, all enduring for a pretty long time, usually. And their duration or durability actually gives them a certain value. So we very often attribute durability with value. So if you still have some business in the material universe, it is helpful to know which material is durable and which material is just going to perish within a short time. Because if you want to build a house and you build it on ground that quickly loses its stability, and you make it from materials that are not very lasting, then your life may become more difficult than if you would know about durability in relation to matter. A similar thing applies to the body. Now, if you eat something, it for a very short period of time becomes part of you, but within a few hours, most of it is excreted again, so it doesn't last very long. It is not very long part of you. But for example, some parts of your blood will change every few days, while certain other cells of your body may change only every few months or every few years even. Now, your skeleton, it will take about 10 years before every part of it is replaced. And there are parts of your body which are part of you for as long as you exist. Now, most of your brain cannot be replaced. Now, once it is destroyed, it is gone. And now, for the most part, most of your brain that you have from your birth or sometime after conception until you die. And so it is with a few other of your bodily parts. I think part of your eyes and a part of your retina you have from the very beginning, and if it's not getting damaged, you will have until you die, as well as certain parts of your heart. So this is helpful to consider. If you want to practice the Dhamma for a long time, then better take care of your body. Because certain parts, once you lose them, they cannot be replaced. And there again, you can see that there's often a certain relation between the duration and how valuable that part of your body is. And a similar thing applies for the mind. If you bump into somebody on the street and half an hour later you forgot how his face looked like or how he in general looked like, usually that is not a big problem. But if you forget the name of your mother and where you have been living the past 20 years, that can become very problematic, especially if you don't have anyone who helps you. So we quite rightly usually attribute a greater value to our long-term memory. But even with other mental phenomena, most of our feelings and thoughts and emotions are pretty fleeting. But if you have lived for long enough, you might have had experiences where you were angry for a pretty long time, or vengeful, or resentful, or greedy for a certain thing, or greedy for a certain person. Now, sometimes you might have such emotions and accompanied with thoughts for a very prolonged period of times. So, but whether for long period of times or whether only for short period of times, through repetition, such thoughts become part of your character. And the character is an essential part of consciousness. Or we can say consciousness plus karma is what we in modern times call character. So, and the things that become part of your character determine how you see the world, or expressed differently, determine what world you see. Now, consciousness, I've stated before many times, is our individual way of perceiving the world. And that's why it's very often linked to the planes of existence that you can be reborn into. And that is determined by your mind states and thoughts and emotions. So, and the world you perceive and what world you find yourself in, you can be stuck in one world for a very long time, or you can be stuck in one way of perceiving the world for a very long time. Now, you can live an animal-like existence, even in a human body. And now with that, you might also not live much longer than many animals. Or you can live a demon-like existence, and you might live in that kind of condition for a very long time. Or you might live a hell-like existence of continuous agony and terror and torment. And you can live in such condition for a very long time. While on the other hand side, you also can have a heaven-like existence, surrounded by beautiful people, surrounded by beautiful surroundings, and ever in lofty states of mind. And there you equally may exist for a very long time. You can get a taste of it even in human life. But once you die, then your body will change in accordance with your karma. So this is just for showing that duration or durability exists even in the sphere of consciousness. And that leaves us with the last of the four paramattas, which is Nibbana. Now, strictly speaking, Nibbana is outside the domain of time. But still, there is something we can say about time and duration in relation to the path to Nibbana. So, when we embark on the path of Dhamma, we learn and we contemplate. And we do that in order that we may realize timeless truth. Because the realization of timeless truth, if implemented, purifies our personal karma and transports us into the timeless dimension. And how does that work? Or how do we implement timeless truth in a time-bound world? Well, when we align our actions with those universal truths that we have realized. No. When we have realized some. By that, we make them merely functional actions, not personal activities with a particular aim, especially not an aim directed at the sensory world. In the language of other religions like Christianity or Hinduism, it would be thought of as making every act an act of worship of the divine. And that is actually a very beautiful way of thinking about it. But in Buddhism, we usually would rather think of it as doing functional acts whose purpose is to align us with ultimate truth. And by that, eradicating our karma. So, but for almost anyone, that will be a gradual process of first realizing something about the most dangerous and unpleasant aspects of existence, where essentially a person is continuously dying and reborn in the same place, which is the hell or ghost realm-like existence that essentially we can have an experience of even in human life. Now, people who have gone through much suffering, we understand that fact. But then further, we begin to realize more and more about human life, which commonly has a duration of about 80 to 100 years. So there is much to be realized. And when we have come to a conclusion with that, now gradually we might realize something about the higher and more lofty parts of existence, which, if you would fully enter into them, will have a duration that is exceedingly vast, especially compared to a human lifespan. But even they exist in time and ultimately will have to give way to something else. Nevertheless, these are the things we will have to account for and which we have to consider when we aspire to reach beyond duration and time and conditionality as a whole. So, but this much just for making clear that, you know, there exists also a certain relation between the path to Nirvana and duration. So first we reduce the potential duration that we might have to experience in lower realms, in hell-like and ghost-like realms and conditions, and gradually building up on that through gaining an understanding of human life and the sense sphere world, we are reducing the duration of the potential existences in the human life. Now, usually it is said that a Sotapanna will have no more than 7 lives as a human before he attains enlightenment. And then even the spheres beyond the human realm. Now, the higher spheres, the more we understand them, the less we want to continue to experience them. Now, of course, if we come from human life and we glimpse something of the higher realms, maybe we want to be there for longer. But once we experience these conditions for a prolonged period of time and we realize their nature through wisdom, then gradually we incline more and more only to the experience of the unconditioned and the timeless, the truly timeless. And that is duration in relation to the path of Nirvana. So I hope this little talk made it clear why it is important to understand something about duration and durability, and why we usually should not just think that all things are just arising and passing and have no existence beyond the moment. Now, in certain conditions, this may be a valid insight, but I hope I made it clear that it is also very important to understand about the duration of things. So I hope this Dhamma talk helps all of us to grow in the wisdom that can take us to Nibbana.